Welcome to Two Teas in a Pod. I'm Kate Diaz, a Manchester math teacher and elected president of CEA, the Connecticut Education Association. We are Connecticut's largest teachers union, representing tens of thousands of professional educators across the state.
And I'm Jocelyn Delancey, a fifth grade teacher in Darien, elected vice president of CEA and president of CEF, the Connecticut Education Foundation, CEA's charitable arm.
In every episode, you'll hear thought-provoking interviews, as well as actionable tips and strategies that you can implement in your daily life. We'll have stimulating discussions to help you become a more informed, an effective educator and advocate for your students and the teaching profession.
Thanks for spending some time with us today. Now let's jump right into Two Teas in a Pod. We are here today with Kim Knapp from East Hartford and Kelly Choquette from Milford, and they are our legislative commission chairs. So we are really excited to have them here. And yes, this may sound strange because it is Jocelyn starting off the podcast today. I'm here with Kate Diaz as well.
Hello. Look at us.
But we get to talk about one of my favorite things, which is our legislative agenda and our session and how things come about. So we're here with our chairs who really kind of drove the committee to create CEA's legislative agenda and talk about our work, what's important to us. So which one of you would like to start to share something important, or maybe how you start the process of coming up with our agenda, what that looks like, and kind of how we got to this space today?
And I just want to say before we get started, I'm really grateful. What people don't know is that the Legislative Commission meets a lot more than most of our committees or commissions. And this group is particularly large because it represents as huge of a cross-section as we can come up with. So you ladies have manned a heck of a train this year. And so I agree. Let's talk about what is something you're excited about that was brought forward this year.
I'm really excited about play-based learning, the initiative that we're trying to get legislated to mandate play in the primary grades, particularly kindergarten. As a first grade teacher, I really miss having play in my classroom. The children don't know what they're missing, but I do, because they obviously learn through play, as research has shown. And it really did suck a lot of the joy out of teaching and learning when we did away with play. So children need to play in order to learn, and it's exciting that it might come back.
Can we talk about this for a second too? I know this is Jocelyn's passion project, so I'm going to jump right in here on her to show her that I have been paying attention. Because for those of you who don't know, I'm a high school math teacher and I don't play. We never play. That's a lie. But in any event, I think it's really important for people to understand that you're not advocating for a program. We're not asking for Pearson to draft a program for us to purchase. We're not even asking for curriculums to be rewritten. None of that is really the ask. The ask is that sort of the overarching pedagogy, the way that we attack education, particularly in the early ages, is that we really value the play experience. So let's spend a second really talking about what that means.
So it means that children learn to socialize with each other, and something as simple as taking turns and sharing is not occurring when children are sitting in rows doing worksheets. So they need to be interacting with materials and each other in order to really learn how to interact in the world and the classroom.
Well, and I think it's really important that play isn't just some kind of haphazard free time of wasted learning opportunity.
It's not recess, because it often gets confused that if we talk about play, we're talking about recess.
Well, correct. And I think there are aspects of recess that can be incorporated into learning. Every moment of our school day is a learning opportunity. But when we bring play into the classroom, there's a joy to it. There's a social-emotional wellness component to it. And what we're looking at is how can students reach the same academic standards that we're expecting of them, but in a much more approachable and natural way that's also age appropriate and fun. And so I think that's what we're looking at.
Don't make school fun. What are you going to do? Then all the kids will come.
The other thing that I think is really important is that we're not looking for a mandate on play. What we're looking for from the legislature is that we are looking for a value system in play and permission to play. Because currently
encouragement.
And the way our systems are right now, it's really almost prohibited. And so I would like for people to consider this not a mandate, but an allowance and a fundamental
permission to person.
And kind of guiding principle of how we should be teaching in our elementary schools. But I think, Kelly, you know, there's got to be some other things on our agenda besides play, although Kim, sorry. There's got to be some things on this agenda besides play. Kelly and I are really, the elementary school teachers and us are really.
I love it as well. I'm no longer an elementary teacher. I'm a middle school teacher now, but I see the benefit of it.
Oh, you need to play.
Yeah, and I want to play as well. Exactly. And I just wanted to add, you said that we meet a little bit more often in this committee, and that's so true. And we spent a lot of time over the summer with the SEEP committee, really researching play-based learning, getting to know the language behind it and all the importance of that. So I just want to reiterate the importance that I see in this as well, even though it's not going to impact me in the same way.
Right.
But those problem-solving skills that those kiddos are going to get from, you know, encouraging play-based learning, that's something I'll see eventually, I guess.
You know what? And I appreciate you bringing that up, because even as a high school math teacher, one of the things that I always kind of extrapolate to is the idea that the experience children have in those early years kind of cement for them how they feel about school. So play ends up being intrinsically connected to how I feel about school. So if at six, you feel that school is an interesting and fun place to be, at 16, hopefully you carry that with you when I teach you geometry.
And what I really appreciate about the commission is the scope of the members on the commission. Mm. So we had elementary school teachers, high school teachers, urban educators, rural and suburban educators, and from multiple different parties and political backgrounds and understandings. And we came up with some really creative, supportive measures for educators. So let's talk about some of the other items on our agenda. Yeah. I think play is really exciting, but we've got some other really cool and interesting things on there. So
absolutely. It's almost hard to prioritize. And that was one of our issues when we were discussing all of these things. But I'm just going to kind of add on to play-based learning. I really love that we're trying to address the kindergarten start age.
Oh, yes.
Because I think that's a huge piece of supporting kids in a different way and making sure that they're developmentally ready for kindergarten and all the learning that's going to occur during kindergarten and first grade. So that's definitely an important one for me. And I also think that retaining teachers and trying to find ways to support teachers through salary increases, smaller class sizes, all those things are like extremely important right now for teachers. And we heard that very loud and clear.
And going along with that, the idea of teacher recruitment needs to be brought to the forefront too, because people are choosing other careers and we need to fill the pipeline, so to speak, and get qualified teachers interested in the profession.
Yeah, and it's interesting because as we talk about that, we've kind of come to a new place in some respect, because when we used to talk about recruitment even 10 years ago, there still was sort of the, well, you got to do your time. Like there was this notion of new teachers, we love them, we need them. You know, now it's sort of this urgent cry of like the veteran teachers going, please God, come.
Yes.
Because what we're finding over and over again is that there is nobody backing me up. And so what's going to happen when, one, I would maybe sometime not want to be, you know, full-time employed, and I'd like to be a retired teacher. But also the idea that if there are vacancies in your building, which I suspect everyone is experiencing, you're working more. You're no longer, like I always tell people, teaching's not like any other job. The kids still come, even if there's not a teacher in that room. So somebody's picking up the slack. And most often, it's another teacher. We're making your class sizes larger. We're giving extra sections. So this concept of recruitment being a real investment and top priority, I think, is crucial. And it's interesting to see that that is a priority from our aspiring educators to our actives to our retired. Everybody across the board sees that.
Well, and I think the interesting thing about recruitment and retention is that it comes in different spaces. And a lot of it has to come from the value that our state shows educators, valuing our work that we've done already, valuing our time that it takes to get certified, valuing the money that we spend to get our certifications, keep our certifications, and ensure that we are, you know, following best practices and building ourselves as professionals,
right.
and valuing the fact that a really good, positive, and productive educational system brings so much more than just good learning or successful children, right, to a community.
Oh.
It really has a value in
Huge.
All of the community. So looking at all of the aspects, our process, and then just looking for the state to say, hey, Connecticut values our teachers, and we want the best and brightest, and we want everybody to have access to this profession, and we want to make sure that we are supporting them while they're in it. It's not just we want to get you here, we want to keep you here, and we want to bring families and people to the state of Connecticut going, our public schools are the best, and our public school teachers are just awesome, and they enjoy their job. And I'm not sure we see that right now, but we have so many proposals that could make that so much more a reality.
Can I piggyback on that by saying that's part of the reason we need to use our voices and talk to our legislators? Because I heard a legislator say not long ago that education got her where she was, and she had a very positive education experience in the public schools. And most of our legislators probably did have very positive education experiences. So like they can't relate to what's going on in a lot of our school districts now. They don't know how challenging it is for the districts that don't have money, or just a variety of things post-COVID that have infiltrated all of the schools. So it's really important for us to speak to them and educate them about what is happening in our schools, because their experiences were so positive that they probably oftentimes look back with rose-colored glasses. Mm-hmm. And we need to make sure that they have clear lenses with which to see what's happening.
So, and that's, I think, really important, because when you look at like the data itself, 51% of the students in the state of Connecticut have been identified as high needs learners. And that can be high needs because of socioeconomic factors, learning factors, language factors. There's multiple things that kind of put you into that high needs learner scenario. That is more than half. So the game has changed when you start saying that. That means that the resources we utilized 25 years ago, even if we cost, you know, adjusted them, are not going to be what we need today. The population has changed. The needs are different. Things have intensified. And so I think it's really powerful for us to tell our stories. So what are you going to be doing with the Legislative Commission coming up? What do you kind of think is the next steps?
Well, we need to stay abreast of what's going on with the General Assembly. That's one of our charges as the Legislative Commission chairs. And then we need to mobilize, and we need to advocate as needs arise. We need to lobby. We're having a lobbying day. Is it April 26th?
April 26th. Yeah. To get teachers out there to come to Hartford
and speak up and be heard.
Yeah, and I just want to add to that, our commission has actually met twice since we talked to you guys back in December, and you guys approved the agenda unanimously.
I will say that, yes. The board of directors was very enthusiastic and felt very good about the work that your commission did. So.
And we don't normally meet this often, but we've met now twice to make sure that we are aware of what's going on, that we all attended that breakfast.
Let's talk about the breakfast. Yeah. That was fun, huh?
It was. And it was very inspiring, and I felt very, very heard, right? I think a lot of teachers felt very heard at that. And listening to, what was there, about 19 legislators there that day, something like that?
Close to that.
Yeah, something like that.
Something like that.
There were so many of them that just kept saying, we want to hear your stories. Please reach out to us. We want to know exactly what's going on in the schools. So again, that was, for me, it felt like a different feel.
Right.
Right? Like people are really wanting to know what's going on, and how do we support teachers? How do we support public education?
Right. And I think what's really important for our members who are listening to know is that our government relations department has a lot of tools and supports that if you want to reach out to your legislator, if you want to have a back home meeting, if you want to do those things, we can help facilitate those things, because we have to keep the momentum going. The commission did a great job of establishing a really strong creative agenda. And we've kicked off the session with a press conference and a legislative breakfast. And it's really important for us to keep that momentum going, and that we have a wealth of resources here at CEA that can help members engage in this process.
And I love how the website, if you don't know who your legislator is, it's so easy to find on CEA's website. And
that's such awesome. A user-friendly
and
website.
And then another thing we've shared is just looking at the report card of each legislator and knowing how they have voted in the past. And
Know who you're talking to, right? Do a little research,
and it's very quick and easy to find it. You guys have done a great job with the website and keeping that up.
I had nothing to do with it, but I will definitely shout out to the website team.
So for members who haven't gone to the website often, it is CEA.org. It's really easy to find, and you can sign up for regular
updates and alerts.
So if you haven't done that yet, that's probably a really good thing to do, especially during this session, because we are going to be, every time we get an update, if there's a bill that we think that we're in favor of and we want you to know that it's part of our agenda, That will all be going through our website and our daily reminders and our mm-hmm. weekly reminders. So that's an important part of this process as well if you want to stay engaged.
And it's really powerful for people to realize they don't have to be an expert in anything other than exactly what they know. Ultimately, it really is just tell your story. Help people to understand what it's all about. Right. Talk about the things you value, the things you appreciate, and the things that you are worried about. And I think that we sometimes think it's a super intimidating practice when really in the end, the most compelling testimony you can give is the one that speaks to your heart, because people, it resonates with people and that's what they will recall. You know, it's that good old Maya Angelou, right? People may not always remember what you did or what you said, but they will remember how you made them feel. Every teacher has that story. So the moral of the story is don't be scared off by this. Find your teacher voice, right? Let's find our teacher voice this session. I think this session for me is about empowerment. This is about us remembering that this is our profession. We care greatly. We have a lot invested in the future of public education and teaching. So let's go for it.
And we shouldn't settle. We should not be settling for class sizes that are in excess of 20 students. And we should not be settling for there being no play in the primary grades. And we should not be settling for a lot of the things that we've been settling for because we've had to.
Right. 100%. You know, and I was talking to another person today who said, you know, the challenge we have is the teachers will always make it work because we don't want kids to suffer. And that's both our greatest asset true. And our tragic downfall is that yes. we will figure out how to make class sizes of 30. We'll figure something out. And, you know, that's not okay. We shouldn't have
that's
to do that.
That's not in the best interest of students, right?
Exactly.
We're trying to make it work because that's what we do best.
Right. Agreed. Well, listen, I want to thank you for coming in today. I'm excited about the work coming up. I offer the invitation for anybody who wants to come and talk about legislative issues. We have a lot of opportunity in the coming weeks. Sign up for the CEA Daily to get your blast. And whether you probably like it or not, you're probably going to end up getting legislative updates.
And follow them and report
back.
Pay attention. We need your teacher voice. We need the momentum to keep going, and we thank everybody for the work that we're going to push through this session, and hopefully we'll be celebrating come June with a lot of positive wins for not only teachers, but our students and our public schools.
Yes, we want a celebratory press conference at the end where we are high-fiving each other.
Yeah, we're going to look forward to that.
Absolutely.
Make it happen, right?
Yep.
Thank you, ladies.
All right, thank you so much for having us. We appreciate it.
We want to thank all of our members for all you do and for listening to the latest edition of Two Teas in a Pod.
For more education talk, subscribe to Two Teas in a Pod and find us at CEA.org/podcast or wherever you get your podcasts.
Like what you heard? Share a podcast with your friends and colleagues and spread the word because we are
stronger together.